Good morning. You are listening to It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty today and every day. We are here from 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we are happy to bring you the news and what's going on. And my name is Corinne Lillis.
And I'm Bruce Stocking.
And we are sadly missing Andrew Turner today. We hope that he feels better soon, but we carry on without him, so.
Yes, well, I hope, mm-hmm. Hope he gets back and has a wonderful time. I just
wonderful,
had
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It is Tuesday. It is January 13th, already almost halfway through the month, which is wild.
You know, when it comes to January and February, the faster these 2 months can go by, the better.
That's true. That's true, because there's all the hype around the holiday, and then the new year comes, and it's like, what?
You're right. You know, you get all jazzed for the holidays to come up,
and
it comes, and it's done. You know, and then you're the drudge of taking down your decorations. But this,
and it gets to be 8 degrees out, and it feels like negative one.
Oh, yeah, and the winter just seems to lag and go.
The winter does lag. It won't be warm until, I predict, like May.
Yeah, I think they should change the name to winter to the lethargic. Because that seems to be what happens. You get kind of lethargic. It's like, oh, will this month ever end? You know why?
Why?
It's 31 days. That one extra day.
And then February is 28.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a short one. That sets
was last year a leap year?
I think it was.
Yeah. I think it's every four, and I think it was last year.
Yeah. So, but yes, we're in the doldrums of winter now.
Oh, but wake up and be happy. Although today I wasn't that happy when I woke up because I guess maybe I had a dream about this, but I woke up. I was like, oh, it's Thursday. I was like, oh, man, I have a lot to get done before Friday. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's Tuesday. So I was kind of relieved, but then I was like, oh, man, why did I?
That's
I
okay.
really thought it was Thursday.
Yeah, I thought it was Wednesday today since I was in yesterday doing a bunch of stuff. And, you know, and usually the week here at the station, I'll start on Tuesdays.
Well, yeah, we have Monday free Bruce days, which is nice, but
yeah,
I guess that's
anymore.
Changing.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
So,
behind
the scenes. Yes. Wasn't too cold this morning. Didn't have to defrost my car.
No, but you have to be a little careful out there on some of the areas where the moisture hung. It did freeze. So you may end up with a slick spot.
Oh, there was black ice everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Walking out to your car and that. But right now,
bad.
We're looking at 33 degrees and cloudy skies. Today's high actually goes down. So I guess you can't call it the high. We're at the high right now.
Yeah.
But today we're going to be 28 degrees, sunny skies. Winds will be out of the north-northeast at about 10 to 20. So you're not going to have to worry about today or tomorrow any precipitation. So let's get that out of the way. Tonight, we go to a balmy 14 degrees with clouds returning, and winds are going to be light. Now, tomorrow, we're looking at a high of about 34, clouds and light wind, and the low for tomorrow is going to be about 23, mostly cloudy, light winds again. But again, no precipitation in the forecast of any type, so that's a plus.
Yeah, that is a plus. Definitely not that warm out, though.
No.
So we'll have
winter.
To bear through the next couple months of winter.
Yes. Bear through. I like that. What does it mean? I can go hibernate?
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah.
Nap all day.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. The bear through. I like that.
Well, we had a great weekend. We had the Constitution Seminar on Saturday. And if you weren't there, I feel sorry for you.
Too bad. You
Too
missed
Too bad.
It.
So sad.
That was a home run.
Yeah, we had Gary Porter up here all the way from Virginia. How generous of him. He's on our We the People show on Fridays. And he was up here doing a Constitution seminar, which we gave you a bargain deal for.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a good turnout. And it was at the beautiful conference center, Valley Forge.
Yep.
And it was a nice event on Saturday.
Yes,
so.
And he covered a lot of good things on there. In fact, towards the end when it was like a little question, and he was, you know, just kind of threw it open. One voice in the audience. And his name will remain nameless because we know him. And he doesn't work here at the station. He's a good friend of ours. When's the next one?
Yes. We'll keep him anonymous, though, but he knows who he is.
Yes, yes. But excellent. Everybody was just locked and focused the whole time.
There was even younger kids there, which is very impressive to me.
Oh, Corinne, I got to tell you.
I don't have the best attention span.
What?
So these kids.
Are you saying something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right there along with me. But these kids, I mean, they were really focused. I think Were most of them homeschool
kids?
They
were all homeschoolers.
Okay. And that just goes to show you the benefits to homeschooling.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's rare you can go in a thing where somebody comes in with their kids and you go, oh, there's going to be kids here. During the whole day, you didn't know they were there.
Yeah.
They were, you know, attentive to the whole thing. And a thing I had to cheer, we had door prizes at the end. It was various books and that. One of them was a reprint of Webster's 1828 dictionary.
And we love that dictionary version, especially the definition of the word education.
Yes. And, you know, there's various things like regulation in there. Well, in the raffle for the door prize, one of the young folks, the kids, won the book, the dictionary. That was
That's so great. Outstanding.
So outstanding.
I hope that he uses that for school, you know, looking up different words
well,
and using that definition.
Even if it just comes into, gee, I wonder what, you know, this comment, wonder what this word means.
Yeah.
You know, go through, and that's how you start learning all that. So it was a good day all the way around. It was a home run all the way around. Just fantastic. And you, if you missed it, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
We understand, though, if you had other commitments. Don't feel too
bad.
We don't
understand it. You should have been there.
True. But if you were there, thank you for coming, if you're listening right now. And we strongly encourage you to email us or call us. Let us know what you thought, what you liked, and just some feedback because, you know, I mean, no promises, but that would be something maybe we would do again in the future.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, we've met a lot of new friends.
Yeah.
That came in, a lot of old friends, a lot of listeners, a lot of new listeners. So,
big age variety, so that was neat.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
Well, is it verse time, Bruce?
I think it may be. I feel a verse coming on.
And yes, sometimes my verses tie in with Bruce's We the People because I can read his mind.
Yeah, but not today because I told her what We the People are.
Right, so I kind of base my verse off as We the People. So this can be a little teaser for your We the People, Bruce.
All right.
And this is Romans chapter 8, which is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. And this is verse number 28. And it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And something I think important to take away from this verse is he says, God works for the good of those who love him. And it's God's version of good, which doesn't mean it's not good, but it just means, you know, sometimes our version of good isn't what is actually the best and what matches up with God's plan. So we can't, you know, put our hope in minor things and think, oh, well, that's not what I planned to happen. And that's not what I wanted to go about, because it's not, at the end of the day, you know, God's going to do what he has to do to get us to be where we're supposed to be. So just remembering that our version of good isn't nearly close to how amazing his version of good is. So making sure that we keep that in perspective, that we're not using our own version of, oh, but I thought this was best for me. And, you know, it's so easy to do that. I do that all the time. So just a daily reminder that his version of good is way better than what we could ever predict. And there was some quote I saw the other day, and it said something like, and this isn't exact, but it said something along the lines of, I'm so glad God protected me from what I thought I deserved, or something like that. And it's like, we think that we should get this, or we should get that, or we deserve that. And then in the end, you can look back and be like, wow, I'm so glad I didn't actually get that, because something better happened, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, and it's also the fact where you get a lot of folks, if something happens, you know, they're driving down a road, end up going off the road or something, and they're not hurt and all that. And they always seem to say, boy, there was something looking out for me.
Right, right.
Or, oh, you know, God stepped in, or an angel stepped in and saved me from that. But I find it funny, you get that out of people that you don't even hear in normal conversation. They ever do a reference to that. You know, it comes down to the old atheist in Foxhole. But the acknowledgement of there is a greater hand in going on than what you think.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's interesting. It makes me think of September 11th with some people who told their stories who they were in like a traffic jam that morning, or they couldn't get to the building.
Yeah.
And, you know,
wasn't their time.
Yeah. And someone, I forget some of the crazy stories I heard where they just missed being there. Like something happened to their kid, had to be dropped off at school, and they missed the bus. And it saved their life. And, you know, that might be something you're caring about your morning. Like, oh, I'm so annoyed that my kid woke up late and now I have to drive them to school. And you have no idea. You might not even learn, like, what God was protecting you from.
Right.
Some people learned, but You know, there's a bigger hand in it all, like you said, Bruce. So.
There is. And, you know, in a society like ours where it's me, myself, and I seem to be the major characters nowadays with a lot of folks, you got to realize that me, myself, and I exist because of the one who allows it to exist.
Right.
And I think, Corinne, you even said this one time, is that, you know, the United States exists because God wants it to, and it will continue if he wants it to.
Right. So... And that's also, you know, don't take any day for granted. You're here for a specific reason, so.
Even long, boring winter days.
Even these dreary days, get out there, do something.
Yes, you're being seasoned for the season when you can start doing something.
Yeah, don't lay around and be sick like Andrew. Just kidding, Andrew. But we do have a great show planned for you today. We have an interview in our second hour, so you'll have to stay tuned for that around 8 o'clock. And we just look forward to catching up because, you know, things have been going on in the news. It's been a little bit of a slower news cycle, but it picked up yesterday, that's for sure.
Well, it picked up yesterday, and there's also various things. Remember my analogy about catching a snake, how your attention is kept one way while something else is going on. And, you know, we're going to talk about the something, you know, the attention getting for the snake, but we've also been keeping our eye on what's going on behind that's using the main story as a cover. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, good. So we are going to be heading to a commercial break in just a bit, but I want to remind everyone again, if they want to contact us, email us, info@1180wfyl.com. We always love hearing from you, so don't be shy. And always, you can call into our station at any time during these next 2 hours, and you can actually call into our national host, too. If they give their number and people from the area.
In fact, every show we have has call-ins.
Yes.
You can do that.
Yes.
Except our pre-recorded ones. It's kind of tough to do.
Yes. But make your voice heard. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL. My name is Corinne Lillis.
And I'm Bruce Stocking.
And we hope that you are having a great morning so far. It is Tuesday, January the 13th. And it's not going to be a bad day because the weather won't be too shabby.
Well, at least no rain, no snow. That's a start.
That's a good start.
In fact,
our high
is right now. It gets a little colder. And we're in the 30s. It's going to go to the 20s. So,
and keep dropping from there.
Yeah, it's kind of like gas prices right now. They keep dropping. We like that.
But speaking of the opposite of dropping, what a terrible transition on my part. Terrible. But we are going to be adding some shows to WFYL 1180 AM. And we're super excited about, I think we have five shows that we're adding, at least five. The big one should be starting on Monday is Sam Rohr, and Stand in the Gap is his show. And you have heard Sam many times on our station on We the People on Fridays. And so that will be him and David Kistler and Gary Dull.
Yes. And I tell you, Sam, we have him as part of our We the People Constitution Matters program. Sam is just a fantastic individual, brings perspective into, biblical perspective into the issues of today, the Constitution, and he has a gift of explaining something that makes it, something that you think is complex, makes it very clear.
He is very talented.
Oh, he's an outstanding individual. And so it's real pleasure for us to have Sam here connected with 1180 WFYL. I mean, really, we are blessed.
Yeah, and he'll be on weekdays from noon until 1.
Yes.
And he's going to be live. So, like we've said before, call in, talk to him, ask him questions, you know. So that's something to look forward to, as well as we have are Raising the Standard.
Yes, that's a program Gene and Michael Rapp are going to be doing. I'll be with them on that program. We're going to deal with things such as the history of the United States flag and the flags of the United States, the history thereof, Veterans Matters, a number of different things. In fact, we were meeting yesterday about the program.
And Gene, she was on before on It's a New Day, and we talked to her, and she wrote a really interesting book talking to different veterans and their stories, and a lot of them, this was their first time ever telling their story.
Yeah, oral histories are wonderful.
Yeah, and so we'll see We would love to have veterans on the show and telling their stories. So you'll definitely have to stay tuned for that, because how many veteran shows are there out there? I mean, I can't even think of any.
None.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
You know, our veterans seem to be turned to and highlighted when something goes wrong with the VA or something like that.
Right.
Or, you know, Memorial Day comes along or Veterans Day comes
along. Yeah, it's a one-day celebration.
But it's a celebration that should be done every day, because it's these brave men and women in our history that have created this country, preserved this country, and, you know, and protect us to this day. And so it's, the Raising the Standard is the name of the show. I am looking forward to that one.
And that show will be on Saturdays, am I correct?
Yeah, it'll follow H2O.
Yes, so it'll be on from 10 to 11 in the morning.
And for those that don't know what H2O is, that's History Hydrated. That's a one-hour history program that my wife Karen and I do from 9 to 10 o'clock on Saturday. We're going through American history. In fact, we're going to do this Saturday a comparison of things with taxation and the crown, because we're getting into the Revolutionary
War. Bruce, taxes are one of my favorite things.
Oh, I bet you.
And you know that April 15th is right around the corner.
Yes, you're very.
It will come very quickly.
You can be very taxing at times.
But, thank you.
But also with the fact with the Unaffordable Care Act, a good friend of ours lost their health insurance because of it. And we're going to compare it to what's happened in the past that brought on the revolution. And we were too pleased about being taxed and things like that. So we're going to get into that on Saturday. So tune in from 9 to 10 right here on 1180 AM WFYL for H2O.
Yes. And other shows that we have coming up. We're potentially doing a pet program. We have the Healthy Balance with a wonderful woman named Melanie, who was actually on our New Day show as well for a spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these people doing the shows you might already know. So they're familiar folks, and we like them, and we'll see what's going on. But we're looking forward to adding new shows, and we encourage you to give feedback on what you think. And as always, if you would love to sponsor a show, if you feel like, you know what, we want to partner up with WFYL, jump on board with us.
Oh,
I challenge you to do that today. So anyways.
Things going on. We're producing probably the most shows that a local radio station does in this area.
Yeah,
and there
I would
are
argue
our
that.
Own shows.
And I would argue that we are the best show in radio.
Oh, no question. No question.
Our bias
is showing, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we have a couple minutes left, Bruce, until the break, but I think we're going to wait mainly to the next segment to jump into really what's going on in the news, but maybe a little bit of something we can preview now.
Yeah, a little bit of a tease and a thing. Of course, one of the main story is, where was the Obama administration this past weekend in Paris?
And when did that happen in Paris? Was that Friday morning? No, Thursday morning.
Yeah, it was.
It might have been Wednesday.
I'm talking about the march, the rally that took
I know,
place.
But I'm just trying to think of when the shooting happened.
That happened. Yeah, I think it was around Thursday, because everything was going down. And it's like the typical thing when things go down. It's always on the day that this program is finished for the week.
Exactly. So we just have to let it sit all weekend.
And so there was a rally of 40. Leaders, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But the question is that anybody from the Obama administration was a no-show. And one that was there that left just prior to it taking place. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, White House's response to the criticism that's being fostered on there, and a lot of the debate going back and forth. I look at that as a story. I look at it as a story of yet just another embarrassment that this country has suffered at the hands of Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, how many embarrassments can we really have before it's like, okay, where's the U.S. that we know to be so strong?
Well, I look at it a lot with this individual in the White House, that this country is going through one big buyer's remorse. Mm. They bought this product twice in the polling booth, and what has been produced out of it? A nation that has been diminished in the eyes of the world. We're going to get into this also with the end of the show. I'm going to talk about this, but diminished in the eyes of the world, not taken seriously anymore as far as a lead. And my question is what's the point? What is the point of this? Taking the greatest nation in the world and trying to inflict such damage to it by from within. James Madison once theorized that if a threat to liberty ever came to this country, it would come from across the shores. To a point, he's right, but this one came from within.
Rome, not good.
And Rome fell from within, by the way. So we're going to get into this thing in Paris when we come back.
All right, we'll be right back. Listen up for more. It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL. Good morning. If you are just tuning in on your radio dial, welcome. And I hope you're having a fabulous Tuesday morning. My name is Corinne Lillis.
And I'm Bruce Stocking.
And you are listening to It's a New Day. Normally we have Andrew Turner with us, but he is feeling sick. You know, there's so many germs going around, so stay healthy. But we are continuing on, and we are here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. You can stream us on our website, 1180WFYL.com, or tune in on your radio dial on 1180 a.m. But we also encourage you to listen to our podcast of our shows. If you miss any of them, you can go on over to our website, check out the podcast page, tune in at your convenience. And as always, call in to our show, 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. Tell us what you're thinking about. What's going on in Paris? What's going on with ISIS? What's going on around the world? Because, you know, it's crazy times, Bruce. Am I right?
Oh, crazy they are. You know, especially in Paris. We wonder.
Let's start with Paris.
We, bonjour this morning. We wonder where Obama this past weekend or anyone from Obama was.
Where were you?
Yeah.
Well, like mine sounds a little more German,
Where were you? You did not march in the nine? Yeah, this Sunday, 40 world leaders gathered in Paris in support with Paris, with France. And the Charles Hubdub magazine massacre that took place. Conspicuously missing was anybody from the Obama administration.
And there should have been someone there. Sure. I mean, come on.
Sure. Well, Eric Holder, you know, the attorney race baiter in chief, Eric Holder was there for something else. However,
when is he getting replaced?
Not soon enough.
Yeah. But come on, let's speed this process up somehow.
So anyhow, he was there, but left before it happened. Didn't even participate in the thing. John Kerry sits there and tries to downplay the thing, going, well, I'm going to Paris later this week. Who cares? Who cares?
You know, that's this was a big event.
Yeah, that's like going to somebody's funeral 3 days later.
Yeah, right.
And what is unique about what took place in Paris? Okay, yeah, it's a symbolic type of thing. But considering everything that's going on, Europe is waking up now. This situation, this incident, this massacre that took place in Paris, they want to compare it. It's like, oh, this is Paris's 9/11. Not quite.
Yeah, not quite.
Yeah, we lost 3,000 innocent Americans on 9/11. But I kind of understand what they're saying here.
It's a tragedy.
It is.
But a different level, I think.
And, but they're starting to wake up and to see a solidarity. In it. Netanyahu is there. And let's face it, out of all the leaders, I think Netanyahu is the most despised of them all.
Yeah.
There was even a representative from Vladimir Putin that was there. Where was the administration? I found it.
What do you think the administration just didn't see it as that important? Or
well, I'm considering not sure. The way this
was, there a reason they gave?
No, not really, because. Yo, it's interesting to point out, where was Obama? Was he busy watching? What was the Hollywood's award thing going on?
The Golden Globes.
Golden Globe. Was he more busy watching that?
He might have.
You know, it's just like when we have an American who's beheaded and murdered by ISIS. He comes out, says a few words, and goes off and plays golf. And somebody tried to cover that going, well, the man was on vacation. He's the representative of us in the United States.
It's
outrageous.
Well, what I'm trying to think of the word, it's just like you're an image, you're a representation. So someone from the U.S. has to be there just to represent you know, even if they don't do anything, just to go there and say, you know, we stand strong, we stand with you, and we're a strong nation, we're the strongest nation in the world, but I don't even know if that's true.
But Josh Earnest said that yesterday. Now, the White House has acknowledged that, well, we might have messed up on this one. Again?
A little too late here.
And so he acknowledged it, but he says, you know, we stand with Paris and all that. And then you get other pundits going, oh, Obama didn't go because... And Bob Beckel on The Five, he's taking a lot of heat for this. Some people are agreeing somewhat with it, but I can't. The fact is that I don't care how busy Obama was in that. No.
Okay. So maybe Obama had something he had to do. But is he the only... Someone else could have gone.
Where was Joe Biden? He's the vice president. Usually, if the president of the United States can't go, the vice president goes. It's a gesture. It's an optics. And we all know how optics do not work with this amateur in chief. But I find it...
Someone should have been there. There's no excuse.
Yeah, I find outrageous behavior by the president and his administration. All Americans should be ashamed and embarrassed by the lack of attention this president has. This is truly an abomination.
Yeah.
This is truly an abomination. And though they're going, well, they didn't come over here and they didn't say this. Well, the fact of the matter is we are the United States. And I've always said when the United States leads, the rest will follow. Nobody trusts us now. But the mere fact you couldn't send somebody, you couldn't even send the janitor from the State Department.
Not
to degrade it by saying the janitor, but the fact is, somebody from this administration,
especially Bruce, with what is going on around the world, with ISIS being a threat, still they are still very much a threat. This is not the time to casually and lightly take on, you know, standing strong. We have to make sacrifices in order to keep that image and that reputation.
I didn't catch the whole thing, but I heard in some of John Kerry's thing about going, another ridiculous global warming reference.
To tie into the Paris thing?
Yeah. Yeah, do you still think that global warming is the biggest threat to the world?
Global warming messes with your brain.
Obviously.
And then it makes you go crazy.
They must have an ozone problem going over the White House there because, you know, I don't know what's going on. But I did hear a reference to that. I can't confirm it. I didn't do a follow-up myself on that, but I did.
Well, that's bizarre.
Yeah, it is. But when we look at this, the question is, why couldn't Obama go? What was he doing? And the question harkens back to the attack on Benghazi in which four Americans were killed, in which Hillary Clinton lied and Americans died. And when the attacks were taken out, where was Obama? We never got an answer to that. What was he doing?
Probably watching the Golden Globes.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Golden Globes, the basketball, whatever was going on at the time. And this is not what we expect. This is not what Americans expect from the commander-in-chief. And you were talking about with ISIS, they hacked Twitter of the of CENTCOM.
Exactly, Bruce. This is why we need to stand strong. Because I don't care, you know, Twitter, maybe that doesn't seem so scary. It's not scary, but what the messages that ISIS has hacked and put on the U.S. Central Command Twitter account are absolutely not okay. And they might just be a little scare tactic, whatever. I don't care. This is not something you take lightly. It's not worth it to be like, oh, well, something bad happened and say, oh, well, maybe we should have looked at that a little more seriously. That's our bad. No. Okay. You know, you get a little threat like this. Let me read an example.
Yeah.
One of the tweets that ISIS hacked said, American soldiers, we are coming. Watch your back, ISIS.
Axis Sally.
What? Oh, yes.
You know, Tokyo Rose. When you're in a war, and this is another thing, is that this administration, the French president has come out and said, we're at war with extremist Islamic. This president will not say that. He will not one bit say it. Eric Holder, the only thing he did on that day was to give some lame interviews on some of the networks there when he was asked about his, radical Islam. Are we in a war with the radical extremists? And he says, oh, we're at a war with terrorists.
Right.
They won't say it. And so, you know, the Twitter account, minor account. However, it's a hack nevertheless.
And the fact that they're targeting they're saying American soldiers Excuse me? Well, no, we don't, you know, we can't tolerate that.
Well,
we just can't.
Don't forget that they were targeting American soldier individual accounts, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you exactly. had that. And I find it ironic that they did that at the same time that this administration was talking about cybersecurity and protection and warfare. And boom, this thing landed.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's always better to be safe than sorry. I just think, you know, how seriously should we take this? I think very seriously. Yeah. I think very seriously. And I would be curious to know. I mean, one central command told Fox News that they said, quote, this is bad.
Oh, yeah, because if you can hack.
And it is.
You know, a Twitter account, easy to hack. However, the mere fact of hacking that, that's a little slap to go, ha-ha.
Right. Like, you know, we're not off their radar. They just, you know, did terrible things in Paris. And I mean, they're saying, you know.
And Corinne, you know what else is bad with this? Is most of these people that participate in this hacking from foreign nations have come to this country and learned the computer technology here.
Yeah, and they said another tweet said, ISIS is already here. We are in your PCs in each military base.
Yeah.
That is a threat.
Yeah, well, you know.
That is not
take
something.
Take a look at Sony.
To brush off.
Take a look at Sony, where the, you know, Brannigan Ichkovich, that great security service, the FBI, I always like using that name for him. Mm-hmm. But we're saying that it was North Korea, and then an independent internet security organization, apparently it's a pretty good one, who contracts on various things security, says that I don't know if it was North Korea. So,
yeah.
You know, here we go. Yeah, what is it, guys?
Yeah. So I just hope that whoever is in charge of taking care of this is doing it seriously and doing it quickly, because ISIS needs to go. Anyone who threatens us needs to be taken care of, especially multiple threats. At this point, it's like, come on, how many threats are we going to take from them?
It's the number one priority in the Constitution for the federal government is to protect the United States and the people therein, and that's a paraphrase.
Yes. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for more. It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL. You're listening to It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty. I'm joined by my co-host, Bruce Stocking. My name is Corinne Lillis.
Where?
I see you.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh,
you're
okay.
You're here, Bruce.
Okay. Just checking.
You're physically here. Mentally, I'm not sure.
Not for years.
Not for years?
No, not for
years.
Oh, wow. It's a trick done with mirrors.
We thank you for tuning in. It is 7:49, and we hope you're having a great morning so far. We are. We're talking all things going around the world.
Yep, and the sun is out.
The sun is shining.
Yes, indeed. Beats yesterday.
Yes, it does beat yesterday.
Well, you know, we can kind of look at the sun is shining as possibly a rebirth and renewal of things, that there's a positive future that lies waiting ahead as we go through these.
Yes, let's keep hope. Let's keep the hope. You know, I'm a tiny bit negative about what's going on, and I think rightfully
so. You should have
heard
her during the break, folks. That's not tiny.
Rightfully so. However, we need to keep the faith because, hello, we're not in control of what's going on. So Mr. Big Man upstairs has a plan, and he's in control. So praise him for that, because I wouldn't be able to control the world. I wouldn't
I tell you, but I'm going to talk.
So we'll see how he has it all planned out. So all we can do is keep the faith, keep fighting the good fight, not stand down.
That's right. And I'm going to talk a little further on that at the end of the program. But right now, of course, the big thing in which the new Congress that came in, and of course, the Senate now is under control of the Republicans as well as the House, is the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes.
And it's
Congress is working so hard.
Yes, it's expected today the Senate to approve the bill for the Keystone Pipeline. Of course.
Approved by a lot? Do we know, like, how much?
Yes. Let's see. All chambers of 54 Republicans and 9 Democrats are expected to support the legislation.
Oh,
which needs two-thirds majority.
So it's going to get way more than that.
Right. Well, here's the thing.
But
the anointed one is sitting there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who said he wants to work with the new Congress, who gives all these niceties. And what did I say?
So why would he say that? I mean, really? Why did he say that he wants
flim
to work
flam
with them?
Man. Flim flam man. You know?
Bruce, I have to say, with that phrase you use, flim flam, I used that this weekend.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my gosh, I'm using Bruce Stocking sayings right now.
There you go. Let's bring back
Thank
some
you
of
for
your
that.
Word. No
I should I gave you credit, so
Thank
don't
you.
Worry.
But a flim flam man. Well, you know, the used car salesman, oh, this is a beauty over here. It's a great car. And that it'll do you well. And for $10 more, I'll sell you an engine. But so it looks like they're past this. And Obama has stated, well, I'm going to veto it. Hasn't read the bill. He's not professional. Has not read the bill. Has nothing. Immediately says he's going to veto it. Is this working with the new Congress? Well, a senator, a Republican
right.
from
North.
Right,
I just feel like if he hold on, sorry, Bruce. Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, if he really meant that he wants to work with the new Congress.
It. No.
But think about it. Don't you think he is a smart man? Wouldn't he not say, I mean, I just feel like he doesn't even care. He tells us that he's going to veto it. I think if he was smart, he just wouldn't have said anything. And if he deep down knew he was going to veto it, that's fine. He can pretend like he read it, pretend like he read it over, and then say, oh, I've decided to veto it. But obviously he doesn't care.
We're talking a former junior senator who would vote most of the time present. We're talking an inexperienced individual in there that it's all about the title and not the job. And so, and we're also talking about an individual that tells ISIS when we're going to bomb, what we're going to bomb, and what we're not going to bomb, giving aid and comfort to an enemy.
Well, remember, Bruce, they're only JV, so.
Yeah, they're only JV squads. Well, John Hoeven, a Republican from North Carolina, is actively working to gain enough support in the Senate to overturn a presidential veto. Now, the controlled Senate remains shy of 67 votes needed to override a presidential veto. 45, as I mentioned, 54 Republicans and 9 Democrats. This is the thing with this pipeline. Democrats like Joe Manchin of West Virginia are mm-hmm. all for this legislation. They understand jobs are going to be created to build the thing. Jobs are going to be created to maintain the thing. Jobs are going to be created all the way along. And who benefits from this? In fact, the discussion yesterday that I saw on the news, where does the oil go? It'll go down to the refineries in Louisiana. It comes to us, and we use that oil.
So, okay, Bruce, what would be the negatives to this bill? Like, what, I mean, not saying there has to be a catch, but, you know, I'm sure there's some sacrifices here and there.
It's listening to environmentalists and, you know, the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many. Now, sure, I'm all for keeping the environment clean and nice. And right now, oil that's being transported down, let's say from Canada, is being done through, there is a pipeline, but this would increase the amount, is being done by train. Look at and Andrew always points out, look at the train accidents we have, look at the plane accidents. So what's safer, shooting it through a pipeline or putting it on a train that can get derailed and a bunch of other stuff? And again, I bring up is that this president, this individual occupying the White House when he was running for that job, we must remove ourselves from the dependency of foreign oil. And when the opportunity is there to do it, he blocks it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to get beyond the block. In fact, he needs to be put in his place.
So the bottom line is, though, it could possibly the veto could possibly be overridden.
Yes. Yeah, any presidential veto can be overridden. And so
has that ever happened?
Yeah, it's happened. It's happened.
Okay. History buff. When has that happened?
I can't give you. I didn't put that in my research for today's show on this, but it has
happened. Yeah, I'm just curious.
On a number of occasions where the president has been overridden in a veto. But the fact that this is what I was saying with the new Congress coming in, the new Senate. Oh, yeah. Are they going to do it? Are they going to represent the people? Are they going to have the spine to stand up to this guy?
You know what? Maybe they will. I would like to keep some hope and think, you know, maybe they'll surprise us. And
I certainly hope so. And it's there is a very good chance that they could get the votes to override. The State Department reported starting that it would create roughly 42,000 jobs.
Wow.
The pipeline. 42,000. So what's wrong with that? It's the system to keep it safe and environmentally sound is there. is there. You know, and this is one of the problems that they do with the hooey that they put on us, is that they're trying to use an analogy of technology of 20 years ago to today. Well, it's improved.
Yeah.
Big time improved.
So, Bruce, okay, so if the Senate passes it today, which they're expected to, when does it show up on President Obama's desk?
It can go there the same day.
Oh, okay. And then how long, does he have a certain amount of time, like a time frame that he has to veto it by?
Sure, but I guarantee one thing, he's gonna put veto on this thing faster than anything in the world.
Oh, you think so?
Sure, because he's also done another one. You know how he was threading executive orders?
Yeah.
Well, now he's threatening vetoes. Oh, boy, I'm the president. Remember what he told Putin's president at the time? The president of Russia, he says, tell Vlad after the election I'll have more flexibility.
And then
there was that offhanded comment that he said to, I forget who it was, they were on the golf course and it got picked up. He says, well, the president, I can do what I want.
Oh, the couple that was going to get married.
Oh, yeah. No. This was way earlier. This was, I forget who it was. Maybe.
I'm sorry. There's just too many golf course occurrences. Yeah. I couldn't keep them straight.
Well, he's threatened to also veto anything in an immigration bill that will, disrupt his executive order on immigration. One thing is the funding of the Homeland Security to deal with what Obama has dictated. And well, the thing is, and I'll say it again, he's the president of the United States. He represents the people of the United States. He represents the United States of the world. He does our bidding at our request. He does not come in there and say, well, I know what's best for people. I know what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. I said it because I'm the president. You're the president because people put you in there mistakenly this time. Buyer's remorse. You bet it's happening. But keep that in mind, that you're a servant of the people.
Very true, Bruce. We had to head to commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for more.